Money Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Money Talk. My name is Rajesh Lake. Today we focus on a theme that is redefining India's external engagement, India's trade agreements, enhancing global trade footprints. Over the last few years, India has moved from FTA caution to FTA activism, signing high-profile deals with partners like the UK, Oman, New Zealand, and concluding FTA talks with the European Union. What do these agreements mean for exports, jobs, investments, and for India's ambition to become a key node in global supply chains? To unpack this, I'm joined by noted economic analyst A.K. Bhattacharya. Mr. Bhattacharya, a warm welcome to Money Talk.
Thank you, Rajesh ji, for having me here.
So in just a few years, AKB, India has gone from walking out of RCEP to signing up or concluding major deals with EFTA, the UK, Oman, New Zealand, and now the EU. What, in your view, explains this strategic shift towards an aggressive FTA push?
Well, this is a recognition that if you have to remain open to global trade, improve your exports, and improve your competitiveness in the domestic market, which again fuels into exports, you need to sign into these FTA. This also reflects how the multilateral global trading order is declining at a rapid pace, where people, instead of relying on this multilateral trading order put into effect in 2001, are now actually giving way to these bilateral agreements, which are allowed under WTO norms, but these are bilateral trading agreements either between two countries or between a group of countries and another country. Now, if you look at India's history of free trade agreements, what you see is this, that in the early 2000s, we used to sign FTAs with mostly Southeast Asian countries, whether it is South Korea, whether it is ASEAN or Singapore. But then came a phase of, let's say, from 2012 to 2019, where we stopped all our FTA negotiations and we focused mainly on RCEP. And by 2019, we took a decision to come out of RCEP in the sense that we did not sign the agreement, although we were part of the negotiations in the first those 7 years. And then 2019 onwards, after COVID, the government has clearly changed its stance and trying to enter into FTAs mainly with the developed markets. So whether it is the UK or whether it is UAE or whether it is Australia, whether it is the EFTA or whether it is now New Zealand, which was signed yesterday. Yes. Now, this is clearly a shift towards getting into FTAs wherein you are not that much worried about opening your market to imports from those countries because you are dealing with a developed partner. So therefore, you can probably use your relative advantage of market access to greater effect.
How do you explain to New Zealand, for example, we are giving in a phased manner the tax benefits, but we are getting full benefits from them?
That's exactly the point I was trying to make, that New Zealand is a developed country wherein we are getting completely duty-free access to their market. And almost 95% of their market has been freed up under this agreement. And what's more important is that this has given mobility a big push. And when I say mobility, I'm referring to the kind of visas that Indian professionals will get, the kind of student work visas that Indian students in New Zealand will get. So this, to my mind, is something that no other country with whom we have signed FTAs have given us. So that is very important point.
A plus point.
The other plus point is that we have not given them any access to items that are of sensitive sectors like dairy, agriculture, but have given a graded access to their products, particularly, let's say, wine. Now, the low-priced wine that is at $5 per unit, there is no concession. This 150% duty continues. But let's say wine between $5 and $15, there is a reduction in the duty from 150% to 100% in the first 10 years, which will eventually go up to 50%. And then if it is above $15 wine, it will be immediately on its enforcement, which probably will be happening by the end of this year when their parliament approves it, will be 75% and then gradually move down to 25%. So the costlier wine will get easier access. So idea is that the domestic wine manufacturers will be protected at the lower end of the market, but at the higher end of the market, they will have to compete with the New Zealand wine.
Okay. The India EFTA TIPA, which came into force in October 2025, carries a headline commitment of $100 billion of investment and 1 million direct jobs over 15 years. Now, how realistic are these numbers and what are the conditions India must meet to actually unlock this promise?
This is a conditional thing. I mean, even for New Zealand, we are expecting there's a provision for $20 billion of investment from New Zealand. In the case of IFTA also, there is that foreign investment there. Please remember that FTAs have got three elements. One is the technology element, that it allows you to use greater technology. And the second thing is it must facilitate your quality upgrade programs. And the third is investment. So I think what you are referring to is actually the investments side. So a good FTA will help your foreign investment, help your technology upgrade, and also allow your quality improvements exercise to be on way.
India has also wrapped up FTA negotiations with the European Union, with bilateral trade already around $136 billion and the EU a major investor in India. What are the big gains India is chasing in this deal? And what are the main concessions likely on the Indian side?
I think what we are looking at, if the European Union agreement comes into play and taken together with the other five or six FTAs that have already been signed and which will be operational, almost three-fourths of India's trade will be covered under FTA, which means it is a relatively free access. And it also, as I said, that FTAs enhances investment potential, it improves your technology, and it triggers a kind of a quality upgrade and quality improvements.
Okay, let's hear what Union Minister Piyush Goyal said while addressing press with New Zealand Minister after signing the FTA.
The signing of this FTA today marks another defining milestone in India's engagement with the developed world and brings us closer to Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi's vision of Viksit Bharat 2047. With this FTA, it is the seventh free trade agreement that I am signing in the last 3.5 years. Two more to go very soon in the next few months with the European Union and the United States of America. And we would have had 9 free trade agreements.
A very pertinent question that comes to my mind is about us signing these agreements, and they all talk about supply chains, resilience, and China plus one. Has India actually begun to translate FTA language into on-ground relocation of supply chains, or is that still more a narrative than reality?
Well, it's a challenge as of now. So far, we have seen that India's utilization of FTAs has not been to an optimum level. And for example, the developed countries, when they sign an FTA, we have seen that their utilization level of the FTAs is almost close to 70 to 80%, and even some of the developing markets like Vietnam, and they go in for almost 50%. But India's utilization of FTAs is still languishing at around 25%. So there is a lot of scope for improvement there, and that improvement will take place if we improve our quality standards, if we ensure that technology plays a greater role, and if we use these agreements to enhance foreign investment into the country and improve the ease of doing business so that more people come in and invest, and that then helps Indian companies to plug themselves into those value chains.
Let's also hear what Ashwini Vaishnav, Minister of Electronics and Information Technology, said at the India AI Hub by Google Cloud in Andhra Pradesh regarding India emerging as one of the most trusted supply chain partners for the entire world.
India will emerge as one of the major trusted supply chain partners for the entire world. And in fact, in the recent FTAs that we had, especially with Europe, electronics supply chain was one of the major drivers of the agreement between India and Europe. Because every part of the world is today looking for a trusted value chain supplier. And now we have added semiconductors to this journey.
AKB, according to WTO-linked data, India is now party to around 20 regional or free trade agreements over and above these new generation deals. Does this density of agreements risk fragmentation and complexity of Indian businesses, especially smaller firms?
Well, I would not say that it causes fragmentation. On the contrary, this provides new opportunities to a large number of MSMEs. And remember, MSMEs account for almost 40% of India's merchandise goods exports. And it's a very important tool, FTAs, in making these Indian manufacturers, Indian companies, small, medium, or micro companies, to get into this export market and become more competitive, cost competitive, as well as quality compliant.
So non-tariff barriers, standards, SPS norms in technical regulations are frequently cited as the real bottlenecks, even after tariff cuts. Are India's institutions and regulators equipped to help exporters navigate these hurdles in markets like EU and UK?
I think this is work in progress. We are making necessary changes in our quality standards. For example, there's an entire quality control order. Some of the quality control orders were put on hold. Some of the quality controls have still been enforced. And I think quality is a very important issue as one of the non-tariff barriers. The quality control orders will have to be used in a manner that it does not shut out our MSME and intermediate manufacturing companies, because they are the ones who will be able to import their goods and components and produce those intermediate products which go into the final exportable goods. So therefore, it is a comprehensive approach that will help our Indian industry to take advantage of these FTAs or free trade agreements.
Okay. One worry AKB often raised is that aggressive tariff reductions under FTAs could worsen India's merchandise trade deficit through a surge in imports. Looking at the structure of recent pacts, do you see a serious deficit risk, or are these agreements designed more defensively than critics actually acknowledge?
These are designed in a manner that sectors that are considered politically as well as economically sensitive, like agriculture or dairy products, they are not exposed to low tariffs.
Okay.
But sectors that can withstand the competition, they are able to face that competition, and also they have easier access to those markets. Take the New Zealand foreign trade agreement that has been signed, which allows the Indian companies to have free access to the New Zealand market, but the New Zealand companies or producers cannot access India's dairy market. Or even when it, let's say, it wants to sell apples, apple here, they can sell that apple only part of the year. For example, from April to August only, they can sell apples. And that too of a certain variety, which is $1.5 per kg, that kind of a price restriction are there. So the quotas and price restrictions are still in operation in areas that are sensitive. But in other areas, it's an opportunity for the Indian companies to become more competitive and quality conscious.
Okay. Services are a core Indian strength, and both the EFTA and UK deals highlight mobility, IT, professional and financial services. How far do these pacts really go in easing the movement of the Indian professionals and addressing issues like social security contributions?
I think New Zealand pact is a major development in my view, because it facilitates that mobility where they actually does not worry about the immigration problem so much as it encourages mobility. The UK agreement, the fine print is yet to be made available, and I would imagine that it has got a huge opportunity, just as the EU agreement will also offer the Indian mobility and services sector mobility in particular a great opportunity.
Okay, AKB, thank you so much for those insights and for putting India's evolving trade strategy in perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
With Money Talk. Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and our YouTube channel News on AIR Official.
Money Talk.